Good morning. It is 8:23. This is 105.1 WAYY. And thank you, by the way, to everybody that's been dropping off some books, and we've been getting auction items. We've been getting all set for back to school. Bucks and books. We will have that happening on Thursday from 6 to 10 a.m. We will do that at Chilson Subaru. So we are looking forward to all of that. Yes, he does, as a matter of fact. Yes, he's got a second job, too, as a matter of fact. Yeah. And so anyway, Carrie Kincaid has joined us here from the Eau Claire City Council. Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
Thanks for coming in. And Dave Solberg is here from the city engineer of the city of Eau Claire. We're going to you got a ribbon cutting coming up, which is on Thursday at 4 o'clock for the North Barstow parking ramp. And I'm sure you're very excited because this has been months, maybe even years in the making.
Yes, the ribbon cutting is at 4 o'clock on Thursday, and it's almost 3 years in the making from the original amendment that brought forward the project in 2013. We started doing preliminary design in 2014, began construction last year, and now 2016 we're wrapping it up and finished up a little bit early.
All right. And who's invited to the ribbon cutting? I'm guessing everybody, right?
The ribbon cutting is open to the public.
Okay.
We will have some speakers attending. I'll be emceeing the event, but we're working with our partners that we've had in downtown that have been so patient during construction in the North Barstow area to make sure that they're special guests for the ribbon cutting.
So let's kind of break this down from the taxpayer standpoint and also from the consumer standpoint. What are consumers likely to see, and what are they going to be paying for parking and all that sort of thing?
Well, until September 1st, they will pay nothing for parking in the ramp. We're having a free parking event downtown.
Okay.
The ramp is physically completed and ready to open, and it's been open with a soft opening from last week. So when they show up, they'll have free parking. The gates will be up. They'll have a wonderful new ramp that is spacious and airy and white painted inside, landscaping around to make people feel welcome walking between the ramp and the buildings. And just generally a parking ramp experience that is as far away from the experience they have with the existing ramp in downtown as we could hope for.
But to that end, looking at the parking ramp as it stands now, people also have to visualize a little bit further that how it's going to look, the surroundings of that is not always how it's. And for instance, if you look in from Barstow Street right now, and you're looking in, it looks like there's this big blank wall. Well, that's because there's going to be stuff in front of that eventually when that gets developed, correct?
Correct. The ramp was designed to be attached to with what's called a liner building. So whether it's an apartment or an office space, those plain concrete panels were not given aesthetics like the rest of the ramp because we knew it would be hidden, hopefully with a new building that would be attached to it. They can actually punch holes in the end of the ramp so you can have skywalks if you wanted to or direct access from a building into the parking ramp for the employees. The area around the ramp is going to change. There are two main users or main buildings that are using the ramp currently between the Jamf building and RCU. But Block 7, where people have been parking for the last couple of years, that's prime for redevelopment, as well as the liner site where the post office used to be.
Now, Block 7, is that where the parking, the on-site parking is right now?
Correct. The on-street or the on-site parking north of the ramp.
Okay. That's where that's at. And speaking of Jamf and RCU, agreements were formed to make sure that they are using it. What kind of capacity will they be taking up those employees in the North Barstow parking ramp?
Well, currently between employees in those two buildings, and there are three contracts for that, we have 420 of the 769 stalls contracted out. And that's just with those two buildings. So we still have additional capacity for future employees in the liner building as well as in the Block 7 when that develops.
All right. It's 8:27. This is, I'm John Murphy. Bob Oselt is here. Travis Buehler is with us from the U.S. Journal, Eau Claire Journal. And I get so used to, Travis, I got to bring this up, though. I get so used to you having your other job as well. He does some painting on the side, his second job, that I forget sometimes that he's dressed ready for the next job. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he's one of our contributors. He's with the U.S. Journal, Eau Claire Journal, but he's getting ready for his other job. But you had a question this morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, so much was brought up when we were talking about the parking ramp as far as the budget. I believe it was settled on $9.4 million. Maybe it's different than that. Were you able to keep under that budget with the building of this parking ramp?
We are coming in almost exactly on budget as it was originally bid.
in terms of the parking ramp itself, is what we see is what we get, or can we expand any at all with this parking ramp?
What you see is what you get. The ramp was designed to be three levels originally with an additional fourth level. The bid prices came in very favorable, and we revisited the decision to add the fourth level with the original construction time frame. And ultimately, the City Council approved adding the fourth level at this time. And so it's built to its ultimate capacity, as you'll see when the ribbon cutting on Thursday.
In terms of what we have for parking spaces in Eau Claire now, I know before I think we were somewhere at the area of about 4,000, something like that, in the downtown Eau Claire area. At least that's what we'd heard. What does this bring us to?
Well, it adds an additional 770 to downtown. In the North Barstow district where this lies, it brings us approaching 1,000 parking spaces that are off-street, not on the street. And then we have multiple two-hour parking spaces in the various streets throughout that district.
Obviously, when we've had an event like we just had this past weekend, or events, I should say, where a lot of things were going on, downtown Summerfest, and we had the Dragon Boat Festival and various other things going on, Farmers Market, in addition to that, this becomes a very busy, congested area. But this is also designed to cover both the congested times and then, as I like to refer to it, the stray Tuesdays in January where, you know, frankly, there aren't going to be that many people driving down there, but there are going to be people that are still going to utilize that parking lot.
Yeah, that was one feature that we wanted to look at, to provide parking with your 8 to 5 crowd during the day. Mm-hmm. And then in the summertime, you have the evening crowds when the Confluence Arts Center opens. You'll have the evening and weekend crowds that the parkers and the patrons will not be competing with the 8 to 5 daily workers. We do have the ability to increase for event periods the number of exits from the ramp. There is the ability at the start of an entrance to have three entrances in and then two out, and then at the end of the entrance or the end of the event, it would be three out with two in. So there are a number of features to try and make it more user-friendly to make sure that we can get people out in a hurry if we need to.
City Council President Kerry Kincaid is with us as well. And Kerry, the question might come up, and this may be more of a political question. When you provide free parking for even a space of time, even up to September, is there some concern that, you know, you get people used to the free parking, and then all of a sudden you start, not all of a sudden because you've got a plan for this, but to them it'll look like all of a sudden, what are we doing paying for this now? I was getting this for free. What's this all about? Now you're charging me. Do you have some concerns there?
I personally don't have any concerns because we did such a good job of preparing people for this free parking period. We do really a thorough job of getting good information out. So I think everyone is aware that September 1st fees, contract parking begins, or thereabouts September 1st when we get some mechanics set up. We saw it more as an opportunity to get people used to parking in a ramp. As a city, we only have three parking ramps, so and one is a private ramp pretty much. So it needed some time, we felt, and we took the risk, a minimal risk, and viewed this free parking period as a very positive transition.
Well, you know, it's an interesting point you bring up when people pin that down. We really do only have three parking ramps, right. Whereas there are other communities where parking ramps are kind of a way of life. They get kind of used to it. And I know some of those are bigger than we are, but some of them are roughly our same size. I noticed that when I went to Appleton, I think I counted four or five different parking ramps, some private, some public there. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of a learning curve for the public to get used to using these and how to, you know, what the cost of them is and the efficiencies that a parking ramp can deliver.
I think that's a good way to put it as far as I suppose we do have a couple other smaller, just two-deck ramp or one-deck ramp,
right?
Perhaps, but I was referring to what you might be calling a parking structure, I guess.
Right.
We really only have three of them. And I don't think it's any secret to say that the Gibson, what is now called the Gibson Street parking ramp, has not maybe had that a positive image in the city. So not only are we getting people used to using a ramp, as you do in a busy urban center city, we're getting them used to using a great ramp and seeing ramp parking as a positive alternative.
Let's check in with Travis. He's got another question. Go ahead.
Sure. So last week I was in downtown Milwaukee trying to park my 7-foot-tall passenger van. Okay. And I know a lot of people have pickup trucks in this area. I couldn't get into the parking ramp I wanted to because it was only 6'6" tall vehicles were allowed. So what is the height allowance in this parking ramp?
No, we can accommodate vehicles up to 8'2" tall.
Wonderful.
So you'll be able to get your vehicle in this one with no problem.
That was a good question for an engineer. That's kind of the things that they do. They kind of figure all that whole thing out. We're going to take a quick break, come back with more here. If you've got questions, and I know you do, Dave Solberg, Kerry Kincaid on here from the city of Eau Claire at 715-836-9299. That's 715-836-9299. By the way, they both get gold stars for acting on quick notice. I just asked them yesterday, hey, you want to come in and talk about this parking ramp? And they're both here this morning, so that was very nice. I thank them for coming in and hopefully sharing some information with you as to what the North Barstow parking ramp is going to be about, what it means to you, and means for you. You could call us on the Wisconsin Credit Union hotline, 715-836-9299. That's 715-836-9299. More in a moment on 105.1 WYYY. City Engineer Dave Solberg is with us. City Council President Kerry Kincaid is with us as well. We're talking about the North Barstow parking ramp, but we may get to one or two other things as well. But I want to come in with the ribbon cutting that's coming up on Thursday. The public is invited to come down and see this. Is it a bit of a difficulty? And I know this has been a bit of a struggle. When there is a fair amount of private parking all around this area, it's what people become accustomed to. When you're a big box store and you've got a parking lot that can literally park, you know, 1,000 cars, and only maybe 3 times a year do they actually need to park 1,000 cars there, but they can when they need to. People become way too accustomed to that sort of thing. And is that a bit of a difficulty with this, where people are saying, well, why don't you just have big, wide-open parking lots like they do downtown? Just have, you know, just take up 3-4 city blocks and have nothing but parking. You know, make it like the retail stores do.
Well, there is a different perception when you're parking in a downtown area, whether you're in structured parking or you have to walk 2 or 3 blocks, as opposed to walking the equivalent of 2 or 3 blocks across an open parking lot, you know, like a big box store at a mall. People are more apt or more inclined to walk across a mall parking lot of greater distance than in downtown. So when I was growing up in the area, downtown was where it was at. JCPenney, Sears, everybody went to downtown. You were used to it. You walked on the city blocks. And then everybody started going out to the mall, and now we're seeing a rebirth coming back to downtown. So I think it will be a getting used to it factor for people that are starting to come back downtown like patrons were 50, 60, 70 years ago. So far from my office, where I can look out on Farwell Street, I see people walking everywhere. I see people walking to the library, walking over to the U.S. Bank, and it seems like the users to the parking and the downtown patrons are getting used to walking and parking in a downtown situation.
Right, but they're getting used to walking maybe a half mile, quarter mile, maybe a mile. They're not getting the assumption might be that everybody's walking as if they walked into downtown from some remote location and walked in. The fact is they're parking in a parking place somewhere, and they're walking over to the library or walking further down to Wilson Park or wherever they're going to.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
If I can add to that,
sure.
If you're talking about a city center in an urban environment, it's a different environment than a retail center that's out on the outskirts of town, such that one might say it's rather silly to give a prime urban land for a surface parking lot. And if you're going to spread surface parking lot over a whole city block, you have made a decision that that's more valuable than a development on that piece of property. So in urban areas, you have to think about going up so you have compact development. Get the best value you can, the highest and best use out of each parcel of land that you can in your city center.
Yeah, we had walked a few months ago, a friend and I had walked into a casino somewhere, I think it was outside of Wisconsin, and we walked in, and I noticed as we came in, there were great seating areas, and there were great restaurants and everything. And I said, this casino must be doing very well. And he kind of looked at me and I said, well, because most casinos will tell you, if you're not putting machines there, if you're not putting tables there, that's your revenue makers. That's where you make your money. That's valuable real estate. If you can afford to do that, if you can afford to have all this open space, you must have some other way to make that money. And we found out as you go further back, yeah, they did. But right up front, they didn't have a lot of that. And that could be a similar scenario, that if you take up too much street space downtown, you could run into some issues there.
I think it's our duty as public officials to apply the highest and best use to every parcel that we can in our city center, and certainly surface parking doesn't meet that test.
Let's go with Cindy on our Wisconsin Credit Union hotline this morning. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. Congratulations on the early opening, and I agree that communication has been excellent. I have a comment and two questions. I believe from a financial perspective that Eau Claire downtown property doesn't justify the extra cost of parking ramp versus surface parking. We're like barely at a fraction of that, but it's like in Minneapolis, I believe that is justified. But my questions are, after the fees start getting collected by the people who are parking in the ramps, how much will taxpayers have to subsidize? Because I know the fees won't cover the full cost. And the other question is the status of the TID that the parking ramp is being financed. My understanding is that TID is in jeopardy of failing. And I just wonder if you could address those two things.
Hi, Ms. Burton. Good to hear you on the phone this morning. To your first question, I think you're asking what is the taxpayer's burden
right.
in being able to park downtown and use our urban center.
Because the fees won't necessarily cover all of that.
And if one thinks about if you charge enough fees to completely cover the cost of the parking ramp, people wouldn't park there. You wouldn't be able to afford to park there. So because a parking structure also is a public interest and the public can park there, we, the city council, that the public did have some requirement to bear the burden of that parking amenity. So the TID, which actually is in great financial shape, this would be TID 8, is the TID has enough increment to cover completely the expense of three stories of the parking ramp. The city council subsequently decided to add a fourth level after listening to the business district, after listening to our consultant and seeing and being assured that parking demand was there. The fourth level was added before construction began, which is a thoughtful way to do it. And the funding for that fourth level went out as a general obligation bond, and that will be paid for by property taxes across the whole city. We felt that was a reasonable funding mechanism that was suggested by several citizens, so that fourth level, which will serve all of us, is paid by all of us.
Anything else, Cindy? Okay, thanks. I'm not sure if she's still there, but thank you for calling. And we're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back with more in just a moment on 105.1 WAYY. Kerry Kincaid, Eau Claire City Council President, Dave Solberg, City Engineer, talking about the North Barstow parking ramp, which has its ribbon cutting on Thursday at 4 o'clock. So, and you're invited down to see what this is all about. And who knows, you may be parking in this parking ramp soon, because you might be down there for Farmer's Market or a concert at Phoenix Park or whatever you're doing downtown. Another asset, another place for you to park. It's 8:45, more in just a moment. It's 8:46. We're on with Dave Solberg, Eau Claire City Engineer, and he's got a point of clarification. We want to get to that. We're going to take your calls here on the Wisconsin Credit Union Hotline at 715-836-9299. City Council President Kerry Kincaid is with us as well. So, Dave, talk a little bit about the projections and what you've looked at with regard to the parking ramp.
Sure. Over the last couple of months, we've been talking about parking ramp fees and contract fees and so forth. So we've established a per month fee of $42 for the North Barstow ramp. And currently we have 420 contracts for parking in the North Barstow ramp, a little over half of the total capacity. So for our projections and our pro forma that we have, we're exceeding our operating expenses, our estimated operating expenses, and then also having enough revenue from just the contracts that we have now in hand that we're approaching being able to fund all of the general obligation debt for that fourth level that we're issuing for that. The first three levels were paid for with financing out of the TIF, or the TID. So if we get a few more contracts in here, we're breaking even on the parking ramp.
Which you know this from your past experience on a public utility project, that is not always even close to possible. Some things you just got to build, and you're never really going to make the money back. You just got to build them.
Right. One of the components of our parking study when we had that completed was it really pointed out that structured parking is very difficult in smaller communities to pay for with the pure user fees for it to keep it at a reasonable pace. If you're in downtown Chicago or downtown New York, that's a different story where you don't have any other alternatives. But right now with Eau Claire, it wouldn't be feasible to charge rates high enough to cover all of the expenses without some assistance from either a TID or the general fund.
Let's go back to the Wisconsin Credit Union Hotline here on 105.1 WYY. Brian Westrate is with us. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Two questions. First is the blank wall that faces what I think it's to the east, basically like where the Pad Thai restaurant is.
Yeah, yep, to Barstow, fronts on Barstow.
Is anything going to be done? I eat lunch down there once a week. And
I'm sorry, we covered that at the very beginning. That will be the reason they built it that way and didn't put a lot of other decorative is there's going to be buildings in front of that. There'll be development in front of that.
Ah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
And then what is the amount, because Carrie said, you know, that it would be too expensive. So, but what is the amount that you would have to charge for parking in order for it to actually, you know, pay for itself or be a quote-unquote profit-making enterprise?
Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Westrake. Good to
good
hear
morning.
From you. Good to hear from you again. Thanks for participating in your community.
Yes, thank you.
To my knowledge, the city did not project what fees would we would have to charge in order to break even on operating costs in order through contractual parking. I don't recall what that fee might be. However, we talked very strongly and went to many citizen groups, got input from the general public and from the business districts in downtown about what a recommended fee might be. And they used their internal knowledge of what burden they could bear as far as paying a permit fee. And we used that as our measure. Once we heard from them about a recommended fee from their perspective, we looked at our operating expenses and tried to cover our maintenance costs and put the contractual fees into what could be a mix of funding, I think is a more proper way to say how you keep a ramp functioning that is, as was pointed out, is really a public utility.
All right. Thank you, Brian, for your call. We appreciate it. Questions over there from Bob and Travis. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a question. This might be kind of a stupid question, but from the aspect of a parking ramp, a covered parking ramp, what are operating expenses? I mean, you got to cover the debt, obviously, but other than that, what are the operating expenses of running? I mean, you don't have to plow snow, I hope anyway.
Well, we actually do have to plow snow off the top level, so we do have 1/4 of it is plowed. But we have repairs that we'll make to it. We have telephone charges for the elevators. We have stormwater charges like private businesses have. Office supplies for promoting the parking ramp. Uniforms for the custodians that will maintain it, parts and supplies, equipment purchases if we need estimated. We shouldn't have a lot of equipment purchases right off the bat, as well as repairs to buildings, but we do try to build that cost in so all of a sudden we're not sitting at year 10 or 15 with a huge expense like we're like you would look at with an older building that hasn't been maintained properly.
Are you going to plow if it's less than 3 inches?
What we're looking at.
All right, Captain Snarky. Thank you.
That was a low blow question.
That was nice, Bob. That was good. But go ahead. Yeah. So,
but, answer is yes.
Yes.
We are.
Yes, this winter, we're looking, if we don't have the demand to keep the fourth level closed, which would have the snow, and then that would reduce some of our plowing charges. If we're having the demand and people need to park on the fourth level this winter, if there's a game changer down there, then we'll plow it less than 3 inches.
Okay, there we go. That's great. You can jump in the discussion here on the Wisconsin Credit Union hotline at 715-836-9299. We'll post this for you at wayyradio.com, and this might be on part of our Newsmakers program later this week as well.
I guess I want to move on to something else quickly here, but and I guess, Carrie, probably for you, with the county board passing the living wage, what's the status at the city level? Andrew Withman, of course, is hot to trot on this. What's the status of maybe talking about it, at least taking it under advisement, considering it from the city council's point of view?
Yeah, thanks for that question. First of all, we respect our colleagues on the county as thoughtful public officials, and we thank them for taking up, the issue.
Right.
And we learned as sometimes we go first and sometimes the county goes first. In this case, we have a chance to look at their process and learn from it. One thing that we learned is that the background, the detail, is extremely important. So if and when this comes forward at the city council level, there will be what I might predict months of background, looking at the size of contracts, looking at the wage rates already in place, not only for internal staff but our contractual agreements, which is probably where our biggest impact would be.
So my earlier theory, which was naive in its design, my earlier theory we were talking about of crashing the boards, that, you know, quick, let's get this thing done at the city level before we really can weigh out even how it operates in its entirety on the county level. You don't see that likely. You see that there's going to be quite a bit of study before this actually comes to fruition.
So far, that is what I'm hearing from especially Councilmember Worthman, who is very interested in the issue but is also very interested in understanding all of the facets of making a decision. We all know in our country that wages have been stagnant for 20, now going on almost 30 years, and we know it's a difficult issue, and it needs to have a balanced and thorough approach.
And we're going to come back in 1 minute. Bob is a big tuber and loves the fact that we have the tubing lanes on the river there, and he's very concerned.
We can tell where this is going.
Yeah. In 1 minute, we're going to talk sewer pipes. So we're going to. I know. This is a lively program. It's what we do here.
Right down the chute.
Thank you. I'm going to cut the mic off over there at some point. It's 8:55. This is 105.1 WYYY with John and Bob and Travis. 8:56 again, the North Barstow parking ramp ribbon cutting Thursday at 4 o'clock, and you're invited. You can go on down and see what that's all about. Okay, Bob, this is of great concern to you, It should be a concern to all of us.
Well, the whole river district,
right.
and you know, with the city, is there going to be a reconfiguration of the sewer pipes? I mean, is it just going to go back in? This is an important thing. Our river is getting to be more and more popular all the time with Phoenix Park and the developments going on. Carrie, I guess what's the update or day from an engineering standpoint? What's going to happen there? Are we going to go back to the same way it was with the old cast iron? Are we modernizing? What's going on?
It's going to be replaced largely in the same location that it is currently, but it will be with new ductile iron pipe. It will be with the same construction materials that we're using on our streets projects for quality and durability. And once we get it constructed, the siphon line reconstructed, it should be in business for the next 100 years.
But to get to that point, there's a lot of things that have to happen, right? There's permitting and a few other things that have to go on, right?
Yeah, right now we do have a consulting firm on board performing the design. We're assisting with city staff as much as possible with the survey and with the site. And along with the design, we have the permitting process with the DNR to have the new sewer line constructed under the river. And a siphon line, for the viewers out there, is basically like a gooseneck in your sink in your kitchen. It goes underneath the river and it comes up the other side. So we will be looking at permitting to getting it buried in the bank of the Eau Claire River, getting it hooked up and operational yet this fall.
As an engineer, that's got to be a bit frustrating, just from the standpoint of if we're up to you and you could do everything, you'd probably be in there with duct tape and let's get this thing fixed and get it going, get it operational as soon as you can. It's a longer process than all that.
It's longer than just going out there, identifying the problem, coming up with a solution, and then fixing it. There are I's that need to be dotted and T's that need to be crossed, and for all of our projects that are in and around the river, we do have to follow a permitting process with the DNR for those.
And it brings up a question to me. What kind of, because this kind of obviously caught us by surprise, what kind of an inspection program do we have or should we have so that we should have been able to figure out that, hey, this pipe is getting very, very eroded?
Well, our partners in our utility division do have a regular inspection schedule for our manholes and sewer lines and flushing hydrants and so forth. And they do the inspections on an interval that are more frequent than are required by code. So it was inspected, and from the time of the previous inspection until the next one was scheduled, that's when something happened with the pipe.
What kind of an inspection timetable? When was that last inspection?
It was the last time people were in that manhole was last summer.
Oh, okay.
So this did go fast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it happened sometime from last summer until we discovered it a few weeks ago.
All right, Dave.
Now, is that quick? I know we're running out of time, but is that in a contingency fee? We've got funds that we can handle this thing without, you know, going crazy.
We do have funds available to fix this once we receive the proper permits.
If only more people park at the parking ramp, see, then we can afford to pay. I'm just kidding. Lighten up. Thank you, both of you, for being here. We'll post that for you at wyyyradio.com. It's 9 o'clock.